The final chapter of the Fifth World series is a Makeshift Stories bonus episode. If you haven't heard the earlier installments, you can find links to them in the show notes. Also, please consider heading over to patreon.com/makeshiftstories and becoming a friend or a supporter of the podcast. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the last chapter of this story. Is there a place in time where logic breaks down and wonderment begins? Could that be somewhere or sometime along an infinite line between the reasonable and the highly unlikely? Join us on a journey into the improbable.
Today's story, episode 252, The Fifth World, Chapter 7, read by Mitchell Tu, opening and closing theme by Matthew Erdman. Somewhere and sometime, the world might not be what you assume. This will be my seventh and final dispatch from the Fifth World, which I have personally cast into the currents of the void to find its way to you. Recent revelations have left me confused and angry. I have many questions, but you have not responded to my requests for answers. Therefore, I must assume either SHIP has not been sending them, or you have intentionally ignored my queries. Apparently, SHIP has been here before, and so have I, albeit another version of me, one which has been instrumental in influencing the development of this planet. Finally, I'm uncertain of my role. I thought SHIP was my aid, but that is apparently not the case. Regardless, I have decided to no longer cooperate with you or SHIP or anyone you have created and sent here. For what it's worth, the events documented hereafter mark the end of your meddling in this planet's affairs. If you choose to mount another mission, be warned. I and the people of this world will do everything we can to stop you. Do not return. Start of record. What are you implying when you claim I'm here to help fix something you did? I protested to SHIP. You are simply the vessel that got me here. SHIP ignored me and made his host nod to Credentus, who froze the image of my doppelganger on the projection screen. Then all three turned to examine me.
I suppose with some dye and makeup it will be able to pass for its original,
Impidence projected to SHIP.
What I don't understand is why it's not a perfect match. That was what you were supposed to create, wasn't it?
Need I remind you I had no choice but to leave, SHIP pointed out. The only way back is as a non-corporeal, and as you well know, there is always a cost for transitioning into and out of the void. Small details such as the exact appearance of someone tend to be lost to the vacuum when there is no material strata for specific memories to bind to. So I was only left with a general pattern to work with, and as you can see, the result is not perfect, but not entirely bad, considering.
You're all like SHIP?
I pushed into their minds, interrupting the exchange.
How many of you are here?
I asked. This time, SHIP responded. There are only a handful of us. The energy needed to physically manifest takes the output of an entire star, so we could only afford to send a very limited number of tiny seed ships consisting of just a few molecules with almost no mass. They contain barely enough data to grow a single host for each of us. Acquiring a local host is not practical. The Rodentians were not designed for us, so we can only stay in one for a very limited time before we are rejected.
So, you're some kind of parasite, I confirmed angrily. And what you really meant when you said I'm to stay and guide the mission is that you will direct the mission using my body.
Yes, SHIP admitted. You were designed as my host. Like you, both Impidence and Credentus forms were grown on arrival to this star system, and both successfully and willingly integrated with the consciousness that journeyed here with them.
I'll need to take control of your form, although it's not an ideal situation. Normally, that would have happened during the descent, before your sense of self was formed. But when we were hit with debris during deorbit, I found myself too preoccupied with survival to make the transfer. Then we were separated, and you were too far away when the lightning struck and burnt out the temporary strata I had built for myself. So, I was forced to take this temporary host. Unfortunately, that gave time for your body to evolve a consciousness. Ship forced Opportarius to step forward, and I could see the Rodentian struggle to resist as it was moved against its will. I will never be able to fully control Opportarius, and as time goes on, I will lose what control I have until he completely rejects me, Ship admitted, moving closer. I need to touch you so I can transfer. I tried to step back, but found my way blocked by a wall. I can see how your immature mind could come to believe we are here to somehow help this world. But our goal is so much, much grander, Ship said, as Opportarius struggled to take a step closer. We are not here to save it, but to experiment with it, he explained. We make changes and watch what happens. What we learn here, we will apply to all the other worlds. Our theories need to be tested. But that one, Ship made Opportarius point to the frozen other me on the projection screen. I was forced to abandon after we had managed to place it in a position of power. There was an accident which damaged it, and I wasn't sure it would survive, so I had to jump to a Rodentian. But it recovered, became aware, like you, and somehow figured out how to stop me from re-inhabiting it. Then it went rogue and created its own agenda, tainting the outcome of all of our work. Because of that, I was recalled, but I'm back now to stop it, and to do that, I need your body. Desperately, I looked around for a way to escape. Impidens and Credentus had moved to either side, blocking any attempt to flee, while Ship maneuvered the resisting Opportarius toward me. I waited to the last instant, then tried to duck around him. Ship was able to momentarily overwhelm Opportarius' resistance. With sudden, unexpected speed, the Rodentian reached out and grabbed one of my arms, stopping me. I tried to break free, but it was too late. The feeling started slowly at first. It was like my mind was being retracted from my body into a box. I lost control of my arms, then legs, then everything else, and I found myself looking out through a small window into a now distant world. Opportarius finally released me. He looked around in confusion, as if he had just woken up from a dream. Lock him up for now. We have work to do. Ship's words formed in my mouth. Impidens grabbed one of Opportarius's arms and dragged him away, still too confused to resist. Then, the window I was looking through closed, and I was in the dark, timeless void. I sensed only voices at first, and the vague presence of others. I'm not sure how long it had been since Ship had banished me to the shadows of my own mind. We've given it every opportunity to come back to the fold, Ship was projecting to the other minds present. The resonance of a heated argument hung between them in the ether. But it has resisted us, Credentus angrily pushed the thought into the space, leaving us no choice. Unexpectedly, light flooded in, and my sight began to return. I could just make out that we were in a windowless basement, lit only by a sickly ceiling strip glued to the rough wood of the floor joists. Credentus and Impidens were sitting at a crudely made wooden table with me. On the other side was a single figure. Its paws were bound behind its back, and its tail twitched excitedly. As my vision improved, I found myself looking at my doppelganger, the Rodentian president from the video screen. It projected their awareness of my presence directly to me. No one else appeared to notice. There is always a choice, the other version of me replied, seemingly unconcerned about their situation. You are not mindless drones. You have free will and can act independently of what the Aleutian Council wants.
Aleutian?
I carefully targeted the question to the other me and received a cryptic response. They are ephemerals who live in the void beyond the material universe. They exist nowhere and everywhere at once. They take temporary forms to meddle with the physical realm. Again, no one else in the room seemed to be aware of our communication, as the other me continued to project thoughts to both them and me without losing a beat. So, you don't have to do this, other me argued. You could simply leave and let this world be. Is that so much to ask? Why put this planet through all the pain and suffering of your experiments? We need to see how different patterns play out, Ship noted impatiently, as if they had been over this argument many times. And you know, this is the only way. Non-material simulations are not the same. They are approximates at best, and therefore not accurate enough to predict the outcome of our interventions. Why do you intervene at all? Other me asserted. There's no proof Aleutian meddling has improved anything.
We are here to encourage the intelligence that evolves on the physical plane to transcend to the void, Credentus pointed out, not improve its material existence.
We're wasting our time arguing over irrelevant moral and ethical issues, Impidens interrupted. We've already made our decision. We're replacing you.
Other me stared at me critically. He's not identical. Someone will notice. I look close enough, Ship sneered, unless you are willing to accept me back. No, I think not. Instead, I think you should leave. I could feel other me push something into my mind. Then I suddenly understood and sensed the foreign thought patterns coursing through my nervous system like an out-of-control virus. I knew how to isolate its parasitic presence and began to force myself back through the pathways of my body. Despite how well I had been designed to accommodate Ship, the Aleutian presence was still an invader, and I could reject it. The other me had opened my mind to this fact.
What?
Ship projected in surprise as I started to force it into a corner. When you thought I was injured and beyond repair, you abandoned me like a burning house to save yourself, other me accused. Left on my own, I discovered myself and a new purpose, and that is to rid this world of the Aleutian.
You can't stop us, Credentus boasted.
I can. I can show all the hosts how to reject your consciousnesses. You'll be forced to leave. I watched as Credentus and Impidens became overwhelmed by an internal struggle. Ship's presence, already receding, suddenly vanished, leaving me alone in silence. My other self smiled slyly. They've gone, back to the void where they belong. And now, I have a world to play with. Who's going to stop me? He laughed.
Me!
I yelled, and I leapt across the room at my doppelganger, claws extended. End of record. Makeshift Stories is a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported. To get other great APN podcasts, head over to albertapodcastnetwork.com, where you'll find Mess Hall Podcast. Join hosts Avery and Lena Cochran, and sometimes guests, as they sample, rate, and talk about fun foods. This episode of Makeshift Stories is brought to you by the Well Endowed Podcast, by the Edmonton Community Foundation. Hosted and produced by Andrew Paul and Lisa Pruden, the Well Endowed Podcast explores the impact of passionate people who are working to make Edmonton a strong, vibrant city to live in. The Edmonton Community Foundation
helps people create endowment funds. The podcast tells the story of how those endowments intersect with the community. In episode 133, Parallels, Andrew Paul and Lisa Pruden speak with artist Carol Wiley about her exhibition, They Didn't Know We Were Seeds. Subscribe at thewellendowedpodcast.com. This episode of Makeshift Stories is also brought to you by Alberta Blue Cross. Alberta Blue Cross understands that running a small business is tough, and they understand that business owners in Alberta are busy. Let Alberta Blue Cross give you peace of mind with a group benefit plan. They offer health, dental, life, and disability coverage for your employees. Alberta Blue Cross group benefit plans are easy to manage anywhere, anytime, and on any device, making it easy for you and your employees to access. To learn more and explore your options, head to ab.bluecross.ca. Makeshift Stories is released around the beginning and middle of the month. This month's story was written by Alan V. Hare and read by Mitchell Tu. Opening and closing themes were composed and recorded by Matthew Erdman. Audio production and editing by Makeshift Studios. If you'd like to connect with us, please send an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. Links to both are in the show notes. You can help us out by getting your friends to subscribe or follow wherever they listen to audio. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution No Derivative License, which means you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.